All right, welcome to the Free Stretch, folks. It's a Friday morning edition of the show, post-game morning edition of the show, which we don't get to do usually. And I'll say this, I mean, usually I do this show on Thursdays or something, and win, lose, or draw, whatever it is, there's been 4 days to kind of let the whole thing marinate, to kind of process whatever happened in that week's game prior, and basically, it's just a chance to not be reactionary, because whatever it is, we've had 4 days. So here we are this morning. We are less than 12 hours, as I record this, removed from last night's game where the Bucks lost to the Bears on Thursday night football 20-19. And we're going to be pretty reactionary today, okay? Because we're inside the window that I'm normally not inside of when I talk to y'all after a game. Usually we're doing more looking ahead to the next game than we are talking about last week's game. But the Thursday night game changes all that. So thank you for joining us today. It is a bitter, bitter edition of the show, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, by the way, who we're not bitter about ever. But, you know, back in, whether it's high school or college, or even now, if you have a group of friends, in my case, you know, my college friend group, or a group of roommates, sometimes it's one and the same, you know how you have lots of inside jokes, or little, you know, terminology, things that only make sense to you guys, or ways of describing things that you'd only use inside of that friend group or that roommate group or whatever. So in college, had a roommate we all called Poppy. His name's Josh. He listens sometimes. I don't know if he's listening now. One of my very dear good friends from the University of Florida, Lexington Crossing, Building C, Apartment 306. And so we'd always talk about our day and stuff like that. And one of the expressions Poppy used to use that we kind of all picked up, and I still use to this day, is an emphasis on the word bad when something was really bad. Like, sometimes he'd say, oh, I just took a bad test, you know, something like that. But then other times he'd come in from class into the apartment, throw his bag on the table, and he'd be like, I just took a bad test. Like, he'd say bad like that, like, bad. So last night, you know, sometimes you lose games. No loss is a good loss, obviously. But sometimes there's losses. Sometimes there's bad losses. And then sometimes there's bad losses. Last night was a bad loss, okay? Like that was, and there's always one of these, even in a good year, like even in a good year, even when you go 12-4 or something like that, there's always at least one. So I'm not like down on the Bucks. I think the Bucks are going to be fine. And I'm going to try and emphasize the positive this morning. There wasn't a lot of it last night, but I think there is going forward. My point is though, every year this happens, sometimes happens more than once in bad years, but even in a good year, you're going to have not just a loss, not just a bad loss, but a bad loss. And my gosh, it was 13-0 in the second quarter. I went up to put my son to bed. I said, hey, buddy. And, you know, he's going to campaign to try and stay up. And I choose my spots with that. He's 9. I don't want him to lose a lot of sleep. I'm going to let him do it tonight for game 5 of the ALDS because it's an elimination game, number 1, and number 2, it's Friday. But anyway, I said, no, I'll let you know how it goes. Bucks are up 13-0. It's going pretty well. So by the time I got downstairs from putting him to bed, it was already 13-7, and it was 14-13 before halftime. And honestly, even then, there was zero. I mean, at what point did it hit you that the Bucks really could lose the game? Because it was like, even when they kicked I'll tell you when I thought, okay, they could really lose this game. I'll give you my point where I crossed the line into actually believing that they're probably going to lose. When they didn't get the third down, when they were driving down 17-16, and they hit Gronkowski inside the 5, but he was a little bit short of the marker. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, like here's a chance right here to go get a touchdown here, because if you make it so that the Bears have to score a touchdown to beat you, I don't think they're going to do it. But if you leave it open to a field goal beating you, that seems like a bad deal. So when they decided not to go for the fourth down and kick the chip shot field goal and take a 19-17 lead, that's when I officially started thinking we could really lose this game. That late, what was left when that happened? Just a few minutes, like 5 minutes or something like that? All the way up until then, even during the fourth quarter where the Bucks had bad drives, bad penalties. They had consecutive drives where they faced like a 3rd-and-20 and a 3rd-and-27. And even then, I'm thinking, well, they're going to win, whatever. Like, I literally was not worried at all. And then they get the ball. I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's go take it downfield, get in the end zone, kick these guys' asses and get out of here. And then they get to within a yard of a first and goal situation, and they pass up that opportunity to kick a field goal. We're going to talk about that decision, among other things, on the show today. I'm just saying, at that point, that was the first time I thought, hey, now I'm worried we're going to lose. Like, the Bears can kick it. I don't think they can go drive the field on us and score, but they can certainly kick a field goal, and kick a field goal they did, and the Bucs couldn't answer back, and the Bucs lost the game by a goddamn point to a team that had no business being on the field with them throughout most of that night, okay? But this is what happens, and I say it all the time. You know, you have to score touchdowns. In football, all these different stats and all these different things, there's so many different ways to look at it, especially now there's more advanced analytics than ever. But it really does get to be pretty simple sometimes. And touchdowns win football games. You need to score touchdowns. Bucks have been really good at scoring touchdowns this year. In the red zone, they were 80% coming into the game. Only 1 for 3 last night. But anytime you have a football game where you score one touchdown and kick 4 field goals, I mean, that needs to be reversed. All right? You need 4 touchdowns and 1 field goal, or 3 touchdowns and 2 field goal. If you consistently kick field goals and squander 4 points at a time, taking 3 when you should have had 7, over and over and over, I don't care how much you outplay the opponent, I don't care how much you outgain them, you need to score touchdowns. That is the entire point of the game of football, is scoring and preventing touchdowns. Almost always, not always, obviously, but almost always, regardless of anything else, the team that scores more touchdowns in a game is going to win that game. And the Bucs somehow allowed the Chicago Bears and their anemic offense to score more touchdowns than they did. And even when they were in control of the game, when it was 13-0, they only had one touchdown, and the Bears got a couple right before the half, and even by halftime. We're like, wait, what? Huh? We're down by a point at halftime? They were kicking the ever-living bleep out of the Bears, okay? And it was 14-13 at halftime. And that was before what happened in the third and fourth quarter. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to get to about that loss last night, and there's blame to go all around. The defense gave up a lot of plays underneath because of their insistence on playing soft coverage. There were bad penalties, on and on and on. Officiating is something I know a lot of people want to harp on. There certainly were major officiating decisions that you could say cost the Bucs the game, perhaps. But I'm not as interested in those as I normally would be, because the Bucs' offense let them down and did not score touchdowns. I mean, the Bucs gave up 20 points, okay? So, I mean, we could call what we want to, and the defense, again, wasn't perfect, and the defense didn't get off the field a few times when they really needed to. Fine, but 20 points is 20 points. And if you told me before the game the Bears were going to score 20 points, I would have taken that and absolutely run with it. That's fine. We're going to score more than 20 points. Offense didn't get it done. And with 3 trips inside the red zone especially, I mean, at least 2 of those have to be touchdowns. And so, you know, when I look back at a game last night and all the missed opportunities, I know, you know, people are going to say, well, and this was a turning point, late second quarter. Not late, but I should say midway through the second quarter. You know, a little over 7 minutes to go. Bucks are up 13-0. Bears have a 3rd and 12 at their own 39. So here's a chance to get another stop, get off the field, get the ball back, maybe score one more. Let's make it 20-0, or at the very least 16-0 before half. Sounds good to me, right? That's what's going to happen. It's 3rd and 12. So then they jump off sides on the play. I shouldn't say the Bucks jumped off sides. The Bears false start on the play. The officials miss it and call Shaq Barrett for jumping off sides. Turns 3rd and 12 into 3rd and 7 when it should have been 3rd and 17. Bucks still in 3rd and 7. Should have gotten off the field, but they didn't. And the Bears end up turning that into a touchdown drive. Huge point in the game, okay? And that's one a lot of people are talking about today. But I am here to tell you right now, and I'm not one of these, oh, don't blame the officials guy, that's an excuse. No, I'm Mr. Blame the Officials. I will always point out when an official makes a bad call that changes the outcome of a game. I have no problem doing that. Some people call that making excuses. No, it's not excuses. It's pointing out facts. So I'm not one of these guys that just doesn't care how bad the officiating is. Like some people, it doesn't matter how bad it is. They'll just say, oh, well, you should have done something else. But in this case, the Buccaneers had the football. fourth down. This is what I really want to get to, because this is the part that made me bug them. Of all the things that happened, this is the part that left me awake last night. Because I got everything ready for bed midway through the fourth quarter. I even went upstairs into my bedroom. Normally, if it's a late night like that and I'm watching a game, I stay downstairs because my wife wants to go to bed and the TV on makes that big, bright glow throughout the bedroom, right? And she likes football, but she needs to get to bed. And, you know, I get it. So I try and stay downstairs, let her go to bed. But I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go upstairs and finish this game in bed. And I can get everything. I got my teeth brushed and everything. Normally, I do all that after the game. But I said, let me start prepping now. And then I can be in bed when the game ends, just turn the TV off, fall right asleep. That was the plan, okay? And as the fourth quarter was unfolding, I started to get a little bit more antsy, and I couldn't do it. Like, I was not in a relaxed state. I should have known better, I guess. I mean, I thought I'd be watching the Bucks kind of just, you know, salt the game away in a relaxed state, but that's not how it works. So I was no longer in a relaxed state. I get up out of bed, turn off all the lights, let my wife just go to sleep, come back down to the living room, and turn back all the lights on. I get back into mode. I gotta be in mode. I can't be sitting in a dark room like a movie theater and have it feel like, you know, we're half asleep. When a game's tight like that, I need it to feel like an environment, you know. So I turn the lights on, I turn the volume of the TV up, and I got back into mode. But you can't shift back and forth. I should have known. So, you know, at this point now, I end up going to bed at like 1 a.m. when I was hoping to be in bed right when the game ended. And what was making me turn things over in my head the most was when the Buccaneers had a chance on the fourth down call inside the 10-yard line with a few minutes left and a chance to take what would have been either a 5-point lead or a 7-point lead. They would have gone for two. They were down 17-16. They score there. It's 22-17. Then, of course, they're going for two, trying to make it 24-17. Either way, you have field goal protection if you get a touchdown there. And, you know, this is something with Bruce Arians. The whole thing with him coming in, obviously his experience, obviously his track record. I shouldn't say the whole thing, but one of his trademarks is what? Say it back to me. You all know the slogan, right? No risk it, no biscuit. Right, that's the, we're going to be aggressive, we're going to go downfield, this, that, and the other. My biggest complaint with Bruce Arians, and I want to look at this in the overall, like a macro level, not a micro level. He's obviously, the team has improved by a great deal under him, and Jason Light as well, since they hired him. The culture has changed under him. So I'm not complaining about Bruce Arians overall, but in specific categories, he's been weak. One thing you count on your coaches in this day and age, especially, to be able to do is make the best decisions for your team. And Bruce Arians consistently diminishes the Bucs' chances of winning with decisions. You know, when a quarterback throws an interception, whether it's Jameis or Brady or whoever, or when a guy drops a pass or when guys don't block, that's frustrating, but those are simple errors of execution. And you want to improve on those, obviously, but they were trying to do better. They didn't do it, okay? Like, it's not like they intentionally threw a pick or dropped a ball or missed a block. Obviously, they were trying. But when it comes to some of these coaching decisions, and Bruce Arians continues to botch some of these, he makes calls that literally lessen their chances of winning. I loved it in the first half when they had a 4th-and-1 at their own, you know, inside their own 20. And I didn't even think there was any doubt you should go for it, because there's not. You're supposed to go for it. They've done studies on this. We have numbers on this now. This isn't a gut instinct thing anymore. You're supposed to go for it on 4th-and-1 yard or less, no matter where you are on the field. It's more important to have the football than it is to not, field position. People think, oh, field position is so important. It's important, but having the possession is more important than field position. So if you have a 4th-and-1, whether it's your own 20, midfield, or the other guy's 20, get a 1st-down, keep the ball, drive it to the end zone, and score. And they went for it on 4th-and-1 from their own 20. And I was really impressed. Like, I was worried Arians wasn't going to do it, and he did. And it wasn't a courageous, you know, people say, oh, what balls on this guy. He rolls the dice. It's really not rolling the dice. It's actually rolling the dice to punt in that situation because you're giving your offense one less opportunity to score. That's true risk. It's not even risk so much as it is just insanity. But anyway, he did the right thing. Cool. So then we get to this situation where we're driving with the ball. We're down by one. We got a chance. It was a 3rd-and-long, and actually it was a nice play by Brady to hit Gronkowski over the middle. Gronkowski comes up short. He actually came up about 2 full yards short, And the Bucks got a very, very favorable spot. And if they had reviewed that, they would have been 4th-and-2, and they probably would have been more justified in kicking it. But as it was, they gave him a great spot, and it was a legit 4th-and-1, a single yard. And I'm thinking, you know, your odds of getting a 4th-and-1 are over 70% in the NFL. And they vary depending on you can actually look up breakdowns of it. But depending on the point spread in the game, like teams favored by more than a field goal have an even better chance. They convert it more than 70%. Teams, underdogs, things like that, convert at a slightly lower percent. There is correlation with these things. But the point is, it's not. Some people on Twitter were like, well, I don't want to take a 50-50 risk of not getting it, and then the Bears get the ball. It's not 50-50. You're very likely to get the first down. It's 4th-and-1. It's hard to stop those. And I'm thinking, man, right here, 1 yard, we score this touchdown. And even though it's still a one-score game, it wouldn't have felt like that because you didn't really think the Bears could do it. I didn't think they could do it. We'll never know if they would have because the Bucs kicked the field goal anyway, and they made it easy on the Bears. Bears only had to drive 2/3 of the field, and they have Cairo Santos come in and kick the field goal. But if you want official numbers, and different sources might give you different numbers, but EDJ Sports is a good one that factors in game probabilities, and they can pinpoint every single play in a game and how your win probability changes based on what happened on that play. The Buccaneers, if they go for that 4th-and-1, this is before the play actually happens, just the decision to go for it as opposed to the decision to kick it. The decision to go for it would have increased their odds of winning the game by 8%. I thought it was close, honestly, in real time as the game was happening. Even I was thinking, oh, I would go for this, but I get it. You know, it's close. It actually wasn't as close as I thought. So 8% decrease by choosing to kick the field goal. Then once you choose to kick, you want to know how much their odds made up or went up of winning the game after making that field goal and taking a lead late in the game? You'd think it'd be a huge swing. Their odds of winning the football game went up 0.2% by kicking that field goal and making it. Almost negligible, okay? So, you know, we see these things over and over, and Bruce Arians, I remember, did it last year in the Giants game too, settling for a field goal in close in a game they eventually lost. And even last night, like before the half, Bucks got the ball before the half. They had timeouts. They had like a little over a minute, and there's no guarantee they would have scored, but you're thinking, hey, Brady with a couple timeouts here in like a minute 10, whatever it was, and we had the ball at like our own 25, 30-yard line. We get the ball downfield a few times here. Maybe we hit one. Maybe they kick a quick field goal before the half and they take the lead back, 16-14. So they run the ball on first down. I have no idea. I don't know if Leftwich did that on his own or if Arian. Like, again, this isn't X's and O's stuff. These coaches, I say this all the time. These coaches, I mean, it's amazing how expert they are in their field as far as X's and O's. And on the best football knowledge day of my life, and I've coached at low levels like JV, high school, and stuff, mainly just helping out kids learn the fundamentals of the game. I'm not going to pretend I'm some sort of an X's and O's guru. But even if I was an X's and O's guru, that's the point. These guys have still forgotten more about football than I will ever know in my entire life, like ever. Like the coverages, play design, all these things, I mean, they can process and look at things. It's amazing. I mean, football coaches know more about their craft than I think most people know about their craft, to be quite honest with you. It's amazing. And yet, for as smart as they are with all that, they botch the kind of things that like a 12-year-old playing Madden in his living room knows how to do as far as managing the clock, maximizing your chances to score. They screw those things up all the time. I don't know why it's the hard stuff that they're so good at. And the stuff that should be easy, just from playing Madden, you know this, or even just watching football. I mean, you know all these things as far as when to use timeouts and as far as, you know, when to run and pass and situational thing. Like, the Bucs handed the ball off on first down or before the half there with a minute and a half to go, And they get, it wasn't a bad play. They got a few yards, but then they just go back to the line, didn't use the timeout. And they used like 30, 40 seconds to get a few yards on a running play. Throw them. If you either do this, you either say, we're not going for this, we don't want to risk a turnover, we're taking a knee and going to the locker room. Or if you're going to go for it, go downfield repeatedly. That first down running play is just bad. Like, little things like this, folks, they might not seem like a big deal at the time, but these are unforced errors. These aren't things where you dropped a pass or a guy put his hand in your face and, you know, you didn't make the throw you wanted to make. You know, those things will happen. These are decisions you get to make with no one stopping you. And the decisions they make should always be with the mind of maximizing the best possible outcomes, chances of happening. And so little things like that, you know, they end up running out of time before the half. They can't score. That field goal could have made a difference. We have no idea how the game would have gone. You know, fourth down inside the five, they take the field goal. And I get, you know, I'm not even going to crucify Bruce Arians. I just want to point out when mistakes are made, because that was a mistake. And, you know, I get it. You're thinking, oh, you want to just take the lead. You have a chance to take the lead. You take it. Play defense, blah, blah, blah. Trust your defense, they say. But if you really trust your defense, then you can miss on the fourth and one. Bears are still backed up inside their five. There's 5 minutes left, and you've got your timeouts, plus the two-minute warning. There's plenty of time to get them off the field. And plus, you know they're not going to try and score. They're going to try and be conservative. You'll get the ball back, make them punt, get it back with plenty of time. So it's not that risky, even if you don't make it. Like, I get if the game's on the line, you either make it or you don't. And if you don't, you lose. But if they go for that and they miss it, it's no big deal. Bears are inside their own five. You got plenty of time. Like, the risk-reward was just there to try and make a play and give yourself not just a little itty-bitty lead that a field goal can erase, but a commanding lead that a touchdown would have to be scored. Disappointing to see. And, oh, I didn't get to Tom Brady yet. Tom Brady on the fourth down, the end of the game, after the Bears had scored, and Tom Brady is driving the ball. I shouldn't say Tom Brady's driving the ball. The Bucs are driving the ball. And look, you know, even when the Bears made their field goal and we had a little bit of time left plus timeouts, I thought, okay, I think we'll at least get suck up a look. It may be a 50-something yarder, but I think the Bucs should be able to do this. And we get close to midfield, still needed about 15, 20 more yards. And on the fourth and five play, Brady goes downfield on a really low percentage throw. I thought it was strange at the moment. Like, when he threw the ball, I'm like, that's their fourth and five? Like, that's what they came up with? And I see Brady standing there, like, looking around confused and holding the four fingers up. And even before the announcer said it, I knew it. I said, oh, my God. He thought that was third and five. He's like, I'm going to take a low percentage stab right here because I know I can get the short yardage play. Next play, no problem. We'll pick up the first down, but let's take a shot here first. That way, he thought that on fourth down, that he could do that on, because it was third down in his mind. And I know there's been disagreement this morning. Arians said, no, he didn't, blah, blah, blah. I actually hope he did think it was third down, because if he thought it was fourth down and made that decision, that's almost even worse. I'm not questioning Tom Brady's decision-making, because I don't think he thought that. I think he thought it was third down, which is what I would have done on third down. It's like, hey, I know I can get this on fourth down. Let me use this play to maybe hit them downfield. They're probably going to be guarding the sticks, but maybe I can get past them and get a big chunker here. And if we don't get it, we'll call something that'll get us five quick yards. And so we took a low percentage stab. It didn't work, except, whoops, yeah, game's over. Bears are taking a knee now. And I am not complaining about Brady. I tweeted last night when it happened. I said, can you imagine, like literally, like close your eyes for a second or two and try to imagine if this was still Jameis Winston and Jameis Winston forgot what down it was or lost track of what down it was on the game-deciding play and the Bucs turned the ball over on downs because of it on a clutch potential game-winning drive. Like, if that was Jameis, like, literally, I think people would protest in the street. He'd be declared unfit for professional football and unfit to start in the National Football League by the fan base, and there'd be an out-and-out, like, just riot campaigning for him to be removed as the Bucs starting quarterback that instant. Now, Chris on Twitter, who I've gone back and forth with before, I like Chris, he came back, well, hey, you're not really going to compare Brady and Jameis. Obviously, one's got six Super Bowl. Hey, he's right. I'm not comparing Brady and Jameis, okay? I understand there's credentials that back this up. I'm just saying right here, right now in the year 2020, and Brady's six Super Bowls were for somebody else, not for us. So it's not like this is our first experience with Brady. And if we had any other guy, not just Jameis, any other guy, come in there and get the downs mixed up, we'd be like, get this guy. I cannot believe this guy just did that. Are you kidding me? Is this guy serious? Like, we wouldn't believe it. Now, Brady, of course, does deserve more consideration. And I think Brady's going to be fine. I think the Bucs are going to be fine. I think this is one of those games, though. I mean, you look back at the end of seasons, and I don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, nobody does. But, you know, are we battling with the Saints down the road for the South Division? Is that game the difference between us being a 2 or a 3 seed and a 5 or a 6 seed or a 7 seed? Maybe. I don't think it'll be the difference between getting into the playoffs and not, because I think the Bucs will be in the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, you know, 11-5, 12-4, 10-6. I hope we're not talking about 9-7, but I mean, you know, that's the type of game where you look back in December and you're looking at all the playoff scenarios and the Bucks need so-and-so and this, that, and the other, and you're thinking, damn, if you just put that Bears game in as a W, it just changes all these scenarios and we're looking at home field advantage and this, that, and the other. I have no idea if that will happen, by the way. I'm just saying, like, I think that game, I hope that game doesn't come back to haunt us. There's always a couple like that every year, though. And at 3-2, I mean, I think the Bucks will be just fine. The worst thing that happened last night, honestly, the worst thing is Vita Vea being out for the season, which I guess has not officially been announced as I record this. And it's Friday morning right now when I'm recording this. But Vita Vea, for all intents and purposes, it's known now that he broke his ankle. The replay, when they showed it, the first time they showed it, I kind of said, oh, that's a really bad sprain. I've bowed my ankle in like that before. I've done it actually outwardly. And I was thinking, okay, he'll be about, you know, maybe 4 to 6 weeks and he'll be fine. Then I saw the replay a second time. I rewound it and I saw like the ankle actually like looked like it detached from the rest of the... And I was like, oh, wait, that's really bad. I've never done that to my ankle before. And especially when you have like the weight of another player coming down on it, not just your own... And, you know, a guy of Vea's size, I mean, it's not like he just rehabbed that for a little bit and it's a clean break, it looked like. I don't know what it is for sure. I'm just saying, when I watched that replay a second time, you actually saw the ankle go, and I'm like, oh, God, never mind. Forget what I said. He's going to be out a long time. And it turns out he is. And that's just a huge loss. I mean, the Bucks, you know, Vea had a sack last night, but sacks for a guy like Vea aren't even the thing. Sometimes I'll tell my son when we're watching games, I'll say, let's just watch Vita Vea for a few plays. Just because it's so much fun watching him. He always gets double-teamed. Like, basically, the Bucks play every defensive snap. They play 10 against 9 because there's always two guys that have to block Vea. And so the other 10 guys on the Bucks defense get to go up against 9 guys on the offense. And Vea, like, when you bench press dumbbells, you know how you get, instead of doing the barbell bench press, you do dumbbell bench press, and you get one in each hand. Like, Vea always gets one player in each hand. He usually puts his hand, like, right around their breastplate on their shoulder pads, one in each hand, and he just bench presses both of them back a few feet. He doesn't always get sacks, but he's always there in the middle. He never gets moved out. A lot of times he moves the pocket back into the quarterback, even if he doesn't personally hit the quarterback. And he's just a force on almost every down. Like it, he's one of the few guys I like to spot shadow in my mind. You know, like I said, I tell my son this too. Let's just watch Vea for a couple plays. Forget about the ball. And he just gets in there and just drives two guys back. With one arm each, all the time. And so that's going to be missing now from the Bucks' defensive front. It's going to make a difference. Now, I'm not saying the Bucks can't recover from it, but, you know, he has been a force. And he's turned out very, really, really well, and it's a real shame, both for him personally, I feel bad for him, and for the Bucks as a team and a defense as a whole, to have him no longer around for the season. So, you know, injuries are starting to take their toll. This happens to everybody, but that one was a really bad one. And that's where more regret, I mean, like last night, honestly, it just a cluster bleep all the way around. Like, it'd be one thing to lose the game, it'd be one thing to lose Vea, but to have all those things happen and to feel like I feel like the Vea thing happened because of the situation the Bucks were in, which they should have never been in the first place. Just, really bad. Really bad that night last night, just plain and simple. And so you got to shrug it off. I absolutely think the Bucks can beat the Packers, and they have an extra rest to be able to do it. In fact, I think this is the only, or maybe there's two games, because we talked about this when the schedule came out a few months ago when the Bucks, you know, it was like a rest deficit, and the Bucks this year are playing more games on a shorter rest period than their opponent, and that's something that kind of gets hidden. That they didn't start really looking at that until a couple years ago, but the Bucks play with the one of the lower overall net rest rates of any team in the league. But this is one of the weeks where they will have a rest advantage on their opponent, having played on Thursday and having kind of the mini bye this Sunday. So I think that'll help. Being back home will help. And I think they can absolutely beat the Packers, and I think they'll be fine. I mean, I really do. I'm not, we always say don't be reactionary. So after the Saints game, it didn't mean we were going to be bad. Now that they won 3 in a row, it didn't mean all of a sudden we were a definitive contender for a Super Bowl spot. And now that they've lost another one to go back to 3-2, it doesn't mean things are bad again. These are the rhythms of a football season. They happen. but just really, really disappointing last night all the way around. And so much of it, again, disappointment's one thing, but the worst is always the regret that it was preventable. Like one of my football coaches in the weight room when I was at Jesuit, we'd be doing our off-season workout stuff, he'd say, pain of discipline or pain of regret. It might suck now while you're doing this, but the worst is having to go to bed down the road some night down the road and thinking back, you know, I could have done that. That really didn't have to be the way it was. I could have done that better, and I wouldn't have to think about how I could have done it better all these upcoming nights. And that's what last night was. I mean, you know, when they lost that Saints game, that sucked, but I forgot about that in 24 hours or so. This one's going to take a little longer because it was just so damn preventable. Like, it didn't have to be the way it was. Email me if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. That's BobbyGameday, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can get me at bobbygameday. Oh, and email me if you want a fridge schedule. I still have them, and I can still email it to you if you want to print one out and put it on the side of your fridge. Still getting a few requests for that. Thanks to our sponsors, Bill Curry Ford. I tell you right now, with COVID going on, like I say every week, you don't have to worry about it at Bill Curry Ford. They've got the whole gigantic showroom floor there. Plenty of room for social distancing. But you can also do this stuff from home. Go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. And you can see all the inventory. If you want to test drive a car, call them. They will bring the car to your house or your office or wherever. And if you buy it, they'll bring it to you again. You don't have to leave wherever you're comfortable to do any of this. But if you want to, go see them in person a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. And no matter where you do it, at the showroom, in person, or on your own home computer, if you buy a car from Bill Curry Ford, pre-owned, new, used, whatever, you get the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty. That means even several years from now, if you're the one that bought the car and you're the one that still owns it, you can bring it back to Bill Curry Ford for service if something goes wrong. You get all those things as part of the deal, so check them out. Bill Curry Ford, that's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. In the meantime, so we got an NFL weekend here. Oh, you know, I didn't talk about the COVID thing yet. A buddy of mine made a quip, and he wasn't serious, but he said, you know, the NFL, in a way, is at least making the best of all this COVID stuff because now we can have games almost every night of the week with the way they're juggling the schedule around. Now we've been told there's going to be a game on Tuesday night of next week, in addition to the Monday night where there'll probably be two games, and then you've got your still your Sunday and your Sunday night. And so news coming down today that there was a presumptive positive on, I believe it was the Jets. I'm almost losing track of all this stuff. So hopefully that stays an isolated thing if it's actually a positive. But the way it's gone, you know, we've seen positives for one leak out, one guy or two, and then all the next day, three or four, then all the next day, 10 or 15, and then we got games getting moved around. So, you know, we got a lot of football going on, and again, it's not a good thing. I don't, you know, nobody wants this, but yeah, look at the bright side. There's going to be football on your TV, and there's some college football, I think, tonight. I'm not sure if there's college tonight, but there's always high school football on Friday nights, and then, of course, college on Saturday. Now we're going to have NFL on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, then take Wednesday off as of now, then next Thursday again. So we got NFL games coming up on, like, five of the next 8 days or something like that, and, of course, the Bucks are going to have the long week here to rest throughout all of it, but if there's a silver lining, we'll always find it here on the Free Stretch, and I kind of am looking forward to Tuesday night football because it does not matter, folks. If there is a football game, an NFL football game, college too, but you know, college isn't always prominent teams, but if there's any NFL game on any night of the week, that week night now feels like more of a Friday night or even a Thursday night than a random Tuesday night. I'm hoping we have the Rays playing in the ALCS next Tuesday night as well. That'll be determined depending on what they do against the Yankees in Game 5 tonight. But this is flavor country for sports fans, so enjoy it. There's tons of football and baseball going on. NBA Finals are still going on. And, of course, college football will be taking place on Saturday. So whatever you're doing this weekend, have a great weekend and, you know, try to just move past it. Like I always tell you, don't worry about these things, okay? We've got a good football team. And even with the loss of Vita Vea, the Bucks have a better football team than they've had in quite some time. And 2020, let me put it this way. I'm not any less excited about 2020 this morning than I was 24 hours ago. despite what happened in that Bears game. And I encourage you to take the same mentality. I encourage the Buccaneers themselves, the players and the coaches and everybody, to take the same mentality, because I think everything's going to be fine. That one got away when it didn't need to. They're going to have to clean some things up, and I fully believe they will. But in the meantime, have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Have fun. I will talk to you guys next week. We'll get back onto more of a routine schedule. And I want to thank the Joes for giving me the platform, as always, to be on this website, the number one place anywhere for Buccaneer coverage. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to all of you. I'm Bobby Fenton. That's the week five edition of the Free Stretch. We'll be back next week. And until then, be safe, have fun, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.